The Fan on Demand. This is the Showdown. With Showdown Joe on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.
Welcome to the Showdown. I am your host, Showdown Joe, for the next hour. We're going to talk mixed martial arts, UFC, Dream, Strikeforce, Bellator, and everything in between on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590 in Toronto, as well as Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 960 in Calgary. Once again, my co-host in studio, who apparently wants to rename the show to like the Lounge Show, Mr. Tyler Mason. Tyler, how are you, sir?
I'm gonna keep talking about couches until we actually get some in here.
You right now, if folks can see this at home, I wish you could, actually. I know you can't, but if I can describe this to you, Tyler's, like, once again, laid back in his chair, the microphone extended as far as possible, so all he really has to do this whole show is just move his lips.
Yeah, you know, just gonna turn my chin a little bit and talk to him.
There's no body language, there's no emphasis on anything he's going to say, it's just Tyler being Tyler.
I'm just trying to get relaxed, get into it.
Wow. It's an MMA show, man. You should be jacked.
I'm always excited, but...
You are excited.
I like to take it easy, lay back a little bit, settle into my chair.
Not as excited as Mr. Joe Cervenka when you guys do the hits on sportsnet.ca for some of the prediction pieces. I mean, Cervenka's jacked up.
Yeah, he brings the energy.
He does. He's associate producer on UFC Connected, but you and Joe get out there. You guys do your prediction pieces and driving people towards the tournament that we have on sportsnet.ca. But man, when Joe starts going off, he just goes off. It's like the energy drink plus.
You know, it's funny. He does actually drink an energy drink right before he goes out there.
That would today. Explain a lot.
And I remember one time I had a couple coffees before I went out there and I could feel...
Jittery?
I feel a little bit jittery out there, so I don't do that anymore because it throws me off.
Lots to talk about this week in the world of mixed martial arts. All kinds of headlines with UFC 133, which is the next major event for the Ultimate Fighting Championship, going down in Philadelphia August 6th, which, by the way, is my dad's birthday, even though he's in Italy. I want to wish him a happy early birthday, and I'll continue to do so. Huge MMA fan, by the way. Can you believe that?
I believe it.
Yep. I got to watch... I remember when the very first fight I showed my dad was Hoist Gracie against Dan Severn. And when Hoist Gracie finally submitted Dan Severn with the triangle choke, I looked back at my dad and he was crying.
You know, it's interesting because my dad came to one of my early tournaments, grappling. And he did, obviously, coming from, you know, a person who's never really seen fighting or anything like that, but a guy had another guy in a triangle choke, and he was like, I said to my dad, you know, who do you think's winning? And he's like, the guy on top is winning.
No.
And I'm like, no. And then the other guy tapped, and I'm like, he had him in a choke. And then immediately he was interested. He's like, oh, like, what's going on here?
Exactly. You know?
And so for a couple of weeks there, he was watching some of the UFC's, the fight nights on TV and that. He doesn't follow... like most people out there, but he checks it out when he can.
And a considerable twist in, I don't know if it's ironic or not, but the next time he was able to watch another UFC event was when he visited last year in and around his birthday, was obviously Anderson Silva versus Chael Sonnen. And he was riveted the whole fight to watch Chael Sonnen do what he was doing, because he watched, at the time, was MMA Connected, and how he broke down how, you know, immaculate, you know, ballet of violence that Anderson Silva was against this Chael Sonnen, this trash talker. My dad was like, man, this guy talks a lot. You know, he better be able to back it up. I mean, a lot of the stuff he's saying is crazy. You think he can back it up, Joe? I said, yeah, of course. He's a wrestler. Anything can happen. Lo and behold, very first punch thrown in the fight, he drops Anderson Silva. And then we went along that incredible ride. And I remember my dad, like, off the couch, on the edge of his seat, just kind of in between rounds. And then a round was over, and he'd be looking at me. He's like, oh, my goodness. Like, he won the round. He's up 2-0. He's up 3-0. He's up 4-0. He's going to win the title. Holy smokes. I can't believe I'm in Canada. I'm watching this. And Anderson stops in the triangle. Bye-bye, Chael Sonnen. My dad was like, what? This sport is amazing. You got to bring this to Italy. I'm like, I got to worry about Canada first, Dad. Let me take care. This is before mixed martial arts was sanctioned in Ontario. I said, let me take care of the business here with everyone else trying to help out to get it here. So yeah, a little cool story about my dad and our fathers watching MMA. But like we said, craziness happening in the world of mixed martial arts. A couple of days ago, sitting on my couch, looking at Twitter, reading up on some stories, doing some research. Next thing you know, we find out Phil Mr. Wonderful Davis is out against Rashad Evans. Well, the fireworks started going off. Who's going to replace him? Lo and behold, we find out it's technically Lyoto Machida was the guy that was going to step in. Apparently Dana White offered it to Lyoto Machida. Machida accepted. Guys like Tito Ortiz didn't want to fight him. Didn't want to fight Rashad Evans on short notice. I mean, it's 25 days notice. That's 2 weeks, plus you have 1 week the day of the fight or the week of the fight where you're doing nothing but media. No one's really training up until that point. So in essence, you got 2 weeks to prepare. And then Machida comes back and asks for what we now know is what's called Anderson Silva money. And for those who don't know, Anderson makes about seven figures a fight. It's not just the $200,000 or $250,000 that's in his contract. There's pay-per-view bonuses, there's sponsorships, all that jazz. So Dana says, no, you're not getting paid Anderson Silva money. Do what Anderson Silva does over the past, you know, 5-6 years, and then we'll give you Anderson Silva money. And by the way, we all know that there's two sides to every story, or three sides to every story. There's side A, side B, and then whatever's in the middle is generally the truth. We know that. So Machida out, Tito Ortiz picks up the phone, calls Dana, says, yeah, I'm in there. I'll take this fight. So now, August 6th, it'll be Rashad Evans versus Tito Ortiz. This whole scenario... Two, exactly, because it's a rematch, because the first time they fought was a draw. Tito held the fence in the second round, lost the point, hence the draw. Before I start asking you about a billion questions regarding this fight here, when you first heard of all the stuff going down, what went through your mind?
Well, actually, my first reaction, it made me think back to a comment that Phil Davis said before he was even offered the Rashad Evans fight.
Yeah, I know exactly where you're going.
And he said that he was going to take some time off. And he was going to work on his skills because he's only a blue belt under Lloyd Irving. And I thought that was a really smart thing for someone in his position to do, you know, because I think he has a lot of development still to really tighten up his game, standing and, you know, even with the submission game and everything like that. So I thought it was very mature, very smart thing for someone who's on the cusp of becoming a contender in that division. And then he came out and they said he was taking the Evans fight, and I thought it's probably too much of an opportunity to pass up. Mm-hmm. And then, so when this news came out that he was pulling out, I immediately thought back to that comment, and I was wondering, is this an injury that you normally work through, but now you want to, it's too risky, you want to make sure that you're really ready for these kind of challenges. So I guess a little cynical on my part, but yeah, that was kind of my first thoughts. And, you know, since the news it came out as Tito, I actually think it's a very good fight for Tito to take now in this circumstance, rather than, you know, months down the line when both guys have a lot of time to prepare.
Because he's technically still in peak condition unless they hit the buffet right afterwards. But he's still in good condition from his fight against Ryan Bader, which, you know, that defeat, you know, people are calling it a fluke. It wasn't a fluke. He threw the punch. He took him down. He submitted him. That's not fluky. That's doing a good job with whatever's before you. And Rashad Evans has been off for a while, since May of last year. So there's going to be ring rust heading into this fight. So, I mean, Tito opened up as a heavy underdog once again. But you got to take a look into consideration. This ring rust could play havoc with Rashad Evans. No matter how well he trains or how hard he trains or how long he trains, bottom line is a fight's different than what's happening in training. So it could be an interesting scenario come August 7th once all said and done with Tito Ortiz. I mean, this is a guy that's basically gone from, you know, about to lose his job and unemployment to potentially one fight away from getting a title shot.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot playing in this fight that I don't think people... Like, I think a lot of people are forgetting how much has gone on with Rashad and the John Jones saga. I mean,
yeah,
we're talking about a guy who hasn't had a consistent training camp. He hasn't had a consistent training facility for a while now since the big fallout with Greg Jackson. I mean, he's in a whole new gym, whole new training partners. He still has to get used to all that. I mean, he's been off for a whole year. I think the ring rust might be the most important factor in this whole fight. And like you said, like, Tito was coming off like a huge momentum win, and he has that kind of built-in excuse. I mean, everyone's going to always point Tito's the king of excuses, but he actually has a legitimate excuse here, aside from, you know, his injury troubles in the past. But here it's like, if he loses, he took this fight on short notice against arguably the number two guy in this division. You know, he doesn't really have a lot to lose. I mean, before the Bader fight, no one gave him a chance. No one's really given him a chance in this fight. He's expected to lose. Herein lies the advantage of, if he comes out with a win, he's immediately, not only is he relevant now, but he's immediately relevant in the title picture. And he, you know, it's a big win over a big name. I mean, I think he'd be thrown right into the top pitcher. Regardless,
he has to be. In 5 weeks, he could potentially go from, like I said, unemployment to beating two guys in the top 10.
And regardless of what Dana said, that he wouldn't get a title shot, I think they'd immediately give him a title shot because this is a veteran at the end of his career. This is his one last stab at it. The storyline is built in.
It's a moneymaker.
And not only that, it's Tito Ortiz. It's one of the three biggest names the sport has ever seen. So I think they would just throw him right in there if he wins this fight. And it would be quite a story if he could pull off this run.
What if Jackson beats John Bones Jones, though? And Tito Ortiz beats Rashad Evans. You think that those two would scrap it out?
I think there's even the built-in storyline that Rampage used to train with Tito.
Yep.
I mean,
Big Bear.
There's so much going on in this division that everything is extremely interesting, no matter what the outcomes are.
Wait till you see the feature that we have planned for next week's UFC Connected show.
I mean, even think of the outcome if Evans wins and Rampage wins.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Rashad Rampage was the biggest, I think, pay-per-view outside of a title fight that the UFC has ever
and the highest rated Ultimate Fighter in a long time.
You have the biggest grudge match ever. So, I mean, if Rashad Evans and Rampage both win, I mean, which is probably unlikely for both things to happen. But if it did, I mean, even that outcome's amazing. So I think the UFC have painted themselves into a corner that's amazing.
What about the caveat, or not the caveat, the curveball, excuse me, that is Mauricio Shogun Hua and Forrest Griffin?
I think it's there in case someone gets injured.
I mean, the winner of that fight, Tyler, is supposed to be the one that gets the next title shot.
And I think it's unfortunate for those guys, but I think as far as stories are concerned and even rankings, I mean, with Rashad in there.
Yeah. Rashad's getting it no matter what, who wins Rampage or John Bones Jones, if Rashad wins. Like, he's getting it no matter what because there's a storyline between both those two guys.
And, I mean, even if Forrest comes out of the Shogun fight again a winner and Tito comes out a winner, I mean...
And if Shogun wins, there's a trilogy right there.
So there's a lot of possibilities and all of them are easily marketable. So I think the UFC have done a great job here with these fights, especially with the injuries that have happened lately.
So what's your early prediction for Tito versus Rashad? We'll get into it next week or in a couple of weeks for sure as we break down the full fight card. But what is your take right now in terms of who can pull this off?
My early predictions, I'd probably have to go with Rashad because I'm probably his biggest fan of his MMA takedowns. I think he's, you know, outside of George St. Pierre, I think he's probably got the most explosive freestyle takedowns in MMA. So I'd probably have to go with Rashad. But there's so much ring rust. There's so much ring rust there.
I mean,
I'd have to really look at this one.
What you need to look at is a screen that I'm throwing your way because the poster has officially been released by the UFC, and it's, in essence, Tito is back.
It's heavy on the Ortiz.
Heavy on the Ortiz. They are really pushing this. So, I mean, on the front page of UFC.com right now is a big picture of Tito's mug with the words, Tito's back, UFC 133, tickets on sale now, Evans versus Ortiz. And when you look at some of the other posters for this fight, at the very top of the poster, it says Tito's back. So it's they're really starting to push Tito now. I guess Dana's really happy with the new Tito Ortiz. On the conference call earlier today, he mentioned how he wish he had this Tito 7 years ago, but he's very happy because, listen, Tito is officially gone from doghouse to company man. Right? He stepped up and is saving a pay-per-view for the organization, and that's huge for
again.
Dana White and Lorenzo Fertitta.
Again.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and the other thing that is important here is...
Explain again, though, to the folks that don't know why.
Well, I mean... if I remember correctly, he took the Bader fight and he was in the original opponent. So, I mean, it's the second time he's coming and taking a fight that he wasn't originally scheduled for and saving the card. I mean, it really shows you the difference between a Marquardt and a Tito situation. I mean, Marquardt ruined a main event and arguably
could have cost him the event.
It could have cost him. I think the event got better because of it, because of the whole Congo Barry fight. But when it happened,
the plug could have been pulled.
Yeah, I mean,
had every right to do so.
Going into it, it wasn't as big as a Barnett Fedor or whatever. But it really ruining that card, and it goes to show you what happens when you ruin a card and what happens when you save one.
Absolutely. Do you golf?
I don't.
I got some interesting news for you for an Ultimate Golf Package, an Ultimate Golf Tournament happening in mid-August that somehow, some way, you better come out there and support. All right, coming up after the break, we will talk a little bit about Nate Marquardt as his suspension has been lifted and all kinds of stuff, all kinds of news out there that Tyler's put together. You're listening to The Showdown on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590 in Toronto, as well as Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 960 in Calgary.
This is The Showdown. Showdown with Showdown Joe on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
Welcome back to The Showdown. I am your host, Showdown Joe. We're talking mixed martial arts, UFC, Bellator, Strikeforce, Dream, and everything in between on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590 in Toronto, as well as Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 960 in Calgary. All right, Tyler, you mentioned the name Nate Marquardt before we went to break. Marquardt's suspension has been lifted by the Pennsylvania State Athletic Commission. He is now technically a free agent because he has been cut by the UFC. We all thought he was going to Bellator, but Bellator CEO Bjorn Rebney has stated that Marquardt is not a good fit right now. And when I told you that earlier in the day today, the first thing you said about was money. Now, I concur, because I'm sure Nate's camp and representation are looking for fair share for their client, but Bellator does not make the funds that the UFC generates in terms of profit, so they're probably, their asking price might be a little too high, and Nate may not want to take a pay cut unless he has to, which he might have to if he doesn't get back with the UFC. What do you think the over-under is in terms of yes or no? It's not really an over-under, but yes or no, do you think he will make his way back to the UFC?
I don't think he'll make his way back to the UFC unless it's years down the line and people have forgotten about all the trouble. I mean, there's been guys who have had positive tests in the past that have, you know, people have forgotten about. I mean, Josh Barnett, UFC are going to probably accept him right back in.
Chael Sonnen.
Yeah, Chael. I mean, I think there's a process. I mean, but right now it's the worst. It's the worst thing to have a guy who's bringing all the wrong press into the organization. And I think it's really unfortunate that Marquardt wouldn't lower his price to go to a Bellator. I mean, beggars can't be choosy. I mean, there's not...
Well, you got Hector Lombard calling him out, who's the Bellator middleweight champion. You got Ben Askren, the Bellator welterweight champion, calling him out. And you also have BJ Penn, who took shots at Nate Marquardt once the testosterone replacement therapy result was we found out that was the reason why Marquardt's been cut. Now, Marquardt and BJ Penn, if you guys have a chance, get on Twitter and take a look at the battle that these two guys are having. I mean, Marquardt's ripping into basically what Marquardt said after his suspension was, you know, released or lifted. He thanked everyone that supported him and said, you know, he kind of got sick and tired of all these different fighters challenging him, and he said, listen, you guys can come to my gym and I'll beat you up for free. And then he invited BJ Penn down and threw an insult his way. BJ Penn responded saying, you got to keep take a test every week for the next 3 months, and if you pass, then I'll come down. It's just been going on and on and on. And then you have, like I said, Hector Lombard came out with a video online saying, no excuses, Nate, no excuses, let's do this. So, you know, Marquardt's in a really weird situation because, you know, he tried to negotiate with Bellator, maybe his price was too high, couldn't get that done, so you got Askren calling him out, Lombard calling him out, BJ Penn wanting to fight him, but BJ Penn has different things to worry about right now.
Yeah, I just on the Marquardt situation, yep, before we move on to BJ Penn, with Marquardt, I don't think he's in the position where he should be choosing his opponents. I mean, like I said with Tito, I mean, he didn't choose Bader. I mean, he was supposed to fight someone else and Bader came in, and, you know, Rick Story with Charlie Brennan, he didn't choose Brennan, he chose, you know, to fight Marquardt, and he took that fight, and Marquardt's in the situation where he's was in the wrong, and he shouldn't be picking. I think he's worried that he'd lose to someone like Hector Lombard or to Ben Askren, and he wouldn't be making the money that would be worthwhile to lose to those guys. I mean, he's also in the unique situation that he's fought a lot in Japan before, and he has kind of a name over there, so he could potentially, you know, fight over there, but Japan's not really in the situation where they've got a ton of money to throw around. So I don't think Marquardt's in the right situation where he can be choosing which opponents he wants to fight or which organizations he thinks should be paying him a certain amount of money. I think he just needs to get in there and fight, and that's how people forget about the things you've done in the past.
By the way, this card for UFC 133, because you mentioned Bader again, I went to look back to see with Ortiz, this card is stacked. Like, this thing, I'm salivating. I know we want to get to the BJ Penn scenario, but before we get there, this is what we're going to talk about next week, okay?
All right.
Evans Ortiz, Rich Franklin versus Antonio Ruggiero Nogueira, Vitor Belfort versus Yoshihiro Akiyama, George Rivera versus Alessio Sakara, and our very own Rory McDonald taking on Mike Pyle. That's the main card. get the Sportsnet card. Matt Hamill, who's stepping in for Vladimir Matsuchenko against Alexander Gustafsson. That's a sick light heavyweight fight. And then you have Chad Mendes against Hani Yaya.
That's ridiculous.
That is silly. And now check out this prelim card. Dennis Holman against Brian Ebersole. I love Ebersole.
I'm actually really excited for that fight, and I hope we somehow get a chance to see it.
I'll see it.
Oh, actually, you know, we can see it on the...
Don't give it away. Don't give it away. Ivan Menjivar, one of our own again. Bantamweight fight taking on Nick Pace. That's going to be an explosive affair. Johnny Hendricks is back, taking on Mike Pierce. That's a welterweight scrap for the ages, and that's a prelim fight. Mike Brown taking on Nam Phan, like former WC champion against a guy that wants Leonard Garcia again. And then Rafael Natal against Konstantinos Filippou. Like, seriously.
You know which fight I think is going to get fight of the night is Belfour Akiyama.
You think so?
Yeah, because everyone always talks about how fast Belfour's hands are, and the thing that people forget about Akiyama though is he's like this amazing judo guy, and all he does is go in there and brawl.
I think Belfort's going to mess him up.
As long as Akiyama can take the punishment and stick with it, but Akiyama's the kind of guy that just goes in there and brawls. I mean, I don't think I've ever seen a fight of his that wasn't entertaining.
So, speaking of entertaining, BJ Penn
was
apparently supposed to rematch John Fitch. And it's been something that's been, both guys had shoulder injuries. It's a fight that's been talked about for a very long time. Next thing you know, a certain natural born killer who remained nameless, Carlos Condit, calls out BJ Penn on Twitter. BJ accepts. The UFC, in essence, apparently, I think it was Joe Silva that told BJ Penn that, listen, nobody wants to see this John Fitch fight. No one's asking about it. Next thing you know, Carlos Condit says what he says, and now they're apparently agreeing to this fight. This fight may take place on the undercard, as a co-main event for George St. Pierre Nick Diaz in October. I mean, I would love to have seen BJ Penn versus John Fitch, but with Carlos Condit, the momentum that he has right now, him taking on BJ Penn is another ridiculous fight at welterweight.
And no one's saying it, but this is a number one contender's fight. I mean, there's a reason they're putting it on the same card as the George St. Pierre fight. Condit is arguably should be in contention. And
he beats BJ, he has to get it.
And John Fitch, BJ Penn was a number one contender's fight that didn't have a winner. So, yeah, I mean, I think it makes sense. I think BJ and Fitch have unfinished business, and I'd probably rather see Fitch and Condit fight for the number one contendership. But, I mean, BJ is always an entertaining fighter, and, I mean, If Condit can't get through him, then he doesn't deserve a title shot.
I said the same thing before BJ Penn and John Fitch fought. BJ Penn will now fight Carlos Condit. Are you ready for Greasegate Part 2? Because you know that'll come up some way. It'll probably get back into the whole thing where he's going to accuse GSP of steroids and all that jazz.
If he wins, I mean,
he's going to go off because he wants that fight bad.
Oh, yeah. I think it's the one fight that haunts him. I mean,
yeah.
Out of all the fights previous, even with the Matt Hughes and the whole injury, and I mean all the times he's moved up in weight and the Frankie Edgar fights, the one I think he always looks back to is George St. Pierre.
And BJ's always been talking about how clean he is, how he's always fought clean, and he takes shots at guys that he thinks, you know, are on steroids, or in this case, the testosterone replacement therapy. And you and I had a long discussion, and I spoke to a few fighters about this over the past week, in terms of testosterone replacement therapy and what it means for mixed martial arts and other sports in general. But in MMA, you know, your testosterone levels, a fighter's testosterone levels, are supposed to be within a certain range. You know, let's just give it, from a scale of 1 to 10, you've got to be between 3 and 7. Let's just say that. A lot of the fighters were saying to me, well, Joe, let me ask you this. If I'm generally a 3, if my body, my regular levels are at a 3, but I'm allowed to be a 7, can I not take testosterone replacement therapy to get me up to a 7? I said, technically, I guess you're allowed to, but in order to get clearance to use testosterone replacement therapy, it is something that is required. It is something that helps you in terms of your hormone because you've got a condition that keeps your testosterone levels low. And we saw many people talk about how they disagree with this theory altogether. And you and I talked about, you know, I like your analogy where we're here to compete against ourselves as humans. Clean. No additional help.
Yeah, I mean, sports and pretty much life is a test of where our genes and our evolution have taken us, right? So I don't think you should be using outside help to get yourself to something you're not. I mean, we've talked about in the past there's this German boy who was born where he has certain genes turned off or activated.
Yep.
And his body allows him to maximize the amount of muscle he can put on. It's something to do with the myostatin. Mm-hmm. So this child was born like ripped. And his mother only had one of those genes turned off, and she was an Olympic sprinter. And this kid has two of them turned off. So he is pretty much as muscular as you can get as a human being mm-hmm. without taking steroids.
And they're continuing to monitor his progression as he gets older.
He has that advantage over the rest of us. His genes are just better for muscles and strength. Maybe that affects other parts of his life, but you know, in a strength competition, he should have an advantage over everyone else. Someone shouldn't be able to take gene therapy and change the way that their DNA is to compete better. Because
The likes of Dan Henderson and we talk about Dennis Holman.
Dennis Holman's case, I think you should definitely be able to have some sort of steroids. I don't know if testosterone is necessarily the one for that treatment, but I think he's colitis.
Yeah.
And there's other diseases like or conditions like Crohn's where steroids really help these people function, you know, and I think that's those are issues where, yeah, if you're an athlete and you have a condition that really needs steroids to, you know, allow you to live, then you should be able to take it. But testosterone replacement therapy that the athletes that are using it now, I don't think it's just so they can live. They say it's because they're moody or they feel tired. You know what? At a certain age, when you turn 40, your testosterone drops drastically. And that's why you see a lot of athletes, they just drop out. They stop competing. And that's part of getting old. I don't think someone who's completely ripped like a Marquardt, you know, he looks like a 205 pounder that's cutting down to 70, you know, 170 pounds. I don't think someone like that needs testosterone.
Unless we find out he's got a certain condition like a Dennis Holman, what Dennis Holman has.
And one of the unfortunate things is there's ways you can game the system. I mean, there's doctors that have come out and said, listen, you can take testosterone and your body thinks that you have a certain amount of testosterone and it doesn't produce as much. Then you go off. And now your body's not producing as much testosterone. Your levels are low. You go to the doctor, you get tested, your levels are low. They prescribe you testosterone. Meantime, your body naturally brings back the testosterone to where it was. And now you have a prescription to testosterone replacement therapy. So there's a ways that these guys can game the system. And I'm sure it's not just in MMA, but in all sports. But this is a huge issue going forward because there's only going to be more and more ways that athletes are going to try and find, you know, ways to get around whatever rules there are. And I think it's unfortunate for the competitors that don't do this.
Is there testosterone replacement therapy in golf?
I'm sure there are. I'm sure, like, my brother's a big fan of cycling, and cycling is it's the most doped up sport in the world. If no one's apparently a really big follower of cycling, but I mean, when you watch these guys ride for, you know, 26 days straight, it's just 26 days straight of pain.
The reason why I asked you if you golfed earlier on, and if there's testosterone replacement therapy, I'm trying to segue to the ultimate golf tournament that I want you to show up at, okay? TangoCreek.com. Check it out, TangoCreek.com. This is where the event's going to happen. It's the ultimate golf tournament. You can pay or win or whatever. It's an amazing tournament. You got to check it out. I'm there. Mark Hominick is there. MMA promo girl Angie Chessman is there. The Coors Light girls are there. $10,000 prize table from TaylorMade. And at the end of the night, we're going to watch a UFC event because there's a UFC event that night. I believe it's Hardy versus Lytle. Another stacked card. So you want to come out there, get your foursome together, come down, twosome, whatever you got to do. And, you know, the winners get either myself or Mark Hominick to golf with them. I don't know how good of a golfer Mark is. I'm going to ask him, but I know that, you know, I can swing pretty well. That didn't come out right, did it?
I'm okay at golf, but I have a really bad slice.
Oh, you're watching the ball go up. That's what you're doing. You know, well, keep your head down.
It goes straight for a long time and then just makes a beeline right.
Either way, TangoCreek.com. Check it out because it's going to be an amazing event. We'll continue to talk more of some of the crazy headlines that are happening in the world of mixed martial arts after the break. You're listening to The Showdown on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590 in Toronto, as well as Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 960 in Calgary.
Make your friends weep with envy. Win wicked prizes inside the fan club. Join today at fan590.com. This is The Showdown with Showdown Joe on Sportsnet Radio, The Fan 590.
Welcome Welcome back to the Showdown. I am your host, Showdown Joe. Once again, my co-host in the studio is Tyler Mason. We're talking mixed martial arts, UFC, Dream, Strikeforce, Bellator, and everything in between on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590 in Toronto, as well as Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 960 in Calgary. We continue to talk about golf during the break, as well as judging. They don't have judges in golf, but again, TangoCreek.com, I'll talk about it again. Get out there August 14th. We're going to have an amazing time at the course. I actually golfed the course. Didn't shoot very well. I won't tell you the number because it's embarrassing, but it was a very fun course.
Was it over or under 100?
I can't answer that question.
That means over.
That means liability. I think it was 101. But I got friends of mine that are shooting 75, 79. Oh, it's like, I'm not golfing with you anymore.
You can't golf with those people.
No, man. Like, get out of here. Again, we'll talk about that a little bit later on. We should talk about Dream. And also during the break, we talked about judging in MMA. And we can have a full 3-hour show on... Well, not really a 3-hour show. It's simple. Certify the judges and certify the reps. There's the answer. But tell the folks out there how boxing, the New Jersey State Athletic Commission did something really good in terms of what happened with the recent fight.
Well, actually, like I came in today to talk to you about a fight I watched last night because, you know, I still watch boxing every now and then. It was Paul Williams and Irislati Lara. And it was kind of Paul Williams' return fight. And he got pummeled. He got dominated by Lara. And what happened was when the judges came with their decisions, one judge scored it a draw and the other two scored it for Paul Williams, which is, it was a travesty. It's the worst decision I've ever seen in combat sports, including MMA. So, I mean, this was brutal. And what happened is we found out today that the New Jersey State Athletic Commission actually suspended the three judges.
That to me sounds like evolution. It's about time that a commission takes a look at a scenario and says, wait a second, this has got to stop. And I'm sure that all the commissioners out there will always say that, yeah, we do review it. I'm sure they do review it. They do review some of the judges' decisions that are out there, but nothing happens to them. Nothing happens to the judges. Nothing happens to the decision. I'm sick and tired of having to hear, well, we've turned it over to no contest. Well, no. If the guy wins, then he wins. If it's judged incorrectly where opponent B is given the fight, but upon further review, opponent A should have won the fight, give it to opponent A.
Now, and that actually brings up a really great point, which in this case, I think they should actually do that. I think they should actually turn over the Lara Williams fight and
yes.
say Lara won that fight. And if you look at, like, we mentioned cycling before, when someone tests positive, like a Floyd Landis, and they take his gold jacket away, they give it to the guy who came second in the Olympics.
Same thing.
If you have your gold medal taken away, it goes to the second place guy and so on until they find someone who's clean. You know, I think it's just right. I mean, if someone's cheating or if the judges get the wrong decision or something like that, I think you have to overturn it because it affects the guy, the opponent's livelihood, the rightful winner's future in the sport. And not only that, their legacy, you know, like when people look back at records, they don't go, oh, they either see a win or a loss. They don't see the whole story behind the lead up.
Exactly.
Or did the guy take it on short notice? Was he fighting at a weight class he's not in? You know, did the judges screw it up? You know, was it one guy tested positive? Like, there's so many things that go into a fight as far as a story. But, you know, when all is said and done, you look back 50 years down the line, it's just a yes or a no. It's just a win or a loss.
All right. Dream?
Dream.
Let's talk about Dream, which unfortunately is not going to be airing in North America. It'll be on tape delay, I think, in a week or two.
It's terrible.
It is terrible. I mean, these are fights that we would always, you know, either stay up to watch or at least PVR and watch on Sunday morning. But unfortunately, this Dream 17 card will not be available on North American television for a week or so. But there's some exceptional fights on this card. Where do you want to start, at the top or the bottom?
Let's start at Takea and Miata.
I got Takea. Decision.
I'm going to go with Miata decision.
Wow.
I think his wrestling is just top notch, man. I think he can get in there and I don't think he's probably going to suplex him over and over again, but I think he's just going to get in there and at least eke out a decision in this one.
All right. Again, we're going to go through this very quickly, but we're not going to take into again, our caveat is we can't take into consideration a silly fighter's game plan if he just comes out there and be silly. And this is the next fight they were talking about. Gerhard Mousasi against Hiroshi Uzumi, a world-class judoka. Mousasi should win this fight, not easily, but fairly easily.
I think Mousasi will win this fight because of his striking, but he goes into his fight so haphazardly and, you know, he has the tendency to gas. Like, sometimes I'm just worried that he's going to lose to a lesser opponent. But I think, yeah, I think Musasi should win this.
My favorite fight, or second favorite fight at least, Masakatsu Munari taking on Hideo Takoro. If Takoro decides to get overly comfortable with Imanari and say, yeah, I can grapple with this guy, I will go with Imanari. If he decides to stand, I will go with Takoro.
I love this fight. I think it's... I'm super excited as a fan. Tokoro is one of my favorite fighters, even though he's super inconsistent. I don't think there's any danger of Tokoro taking a big punch. I'm worried about the leg locks, but I'm going to go with Tokoro.
All right. Fujiwara taking on Kenji Osawa. I'm going to go with Osawa.
I'm going to go with Osawa as well.
This is going to be... that's a bantamweight fight. Ugh. Decision. All right. Mitsuoka against Bruno Carvalho. I think he's making his debut in Dream Carvalho, I believe. But I'm going to go with Mitsuoka.
I'll go with the newbie in Carvalho.
You think he can pull it off in Japan?
I think so.
All right. Ishikawa taking on Marius Zaromskis, who's fallen on some definite hard times. Can he rebound and win a fight again? I think he will.
Yeah, this is definitely a comeback fight for Zaromskis, especially after his last couple losses. I think he will rebound as well. I mean, I think he's just better in Japan.
Well, it says a lot about the state of Japan, and we heard about how you know, Chael Sonnen went off on how, well, we won't get into the whole conversation, but let's put it this way. Zaromskis is 1-3-1 in his last five fights, with his only victory against Kazushi Sakuraba.
He's only good at fighting Japanese fighters.
Yeah. Interesting. All right. Last, this is obviously one of my favorites of all time. Tatsuya Kawajiri taking on Drew Fickett. Wow. I have to go with Kawajiri. My heart says Kawajiri. I'm going to stay with Kawajiri.
I'm going to go with Kawajiri as well. I think his ground and pound is just too ruthless. But, I mean, Fickett's really dynamic on the ground, but I just don't think he can catch Kawajiri.
Mizuno taking on Prangley. That's Tatsuya Mizuno taking on Trevor Prangley. Mizuno's, you know, coming off two straight losses. Trevor Prangley's no joke. I mean, this is a guy that, you know, could probably be in the UFC if he wanted to, but he's 1-2 in his last two fights. The last one was against Roger Gracie. I'm still going to go with Prangley.
I'm going to go with Prangley as well. I mean, Mizuno's a really tough guy, but Prangley's one of those old-time veterans that just take fights anywhere, and I'm going to go with Prangley on this.
All right. Last week, the game that I invented was called Five Words or Less. Five words or less.
And we didn't stick to it at all.
So we're going to call it 5 seconds or less.
All right.
All right? Because we tend to ramble. Correct?
Yeah.
All right, here's a couple of the headlines that are out there, and man, there's some craziness happening here. Mirko Krokop obviously talked a lot of trash about Chael Sonnen in a recent interview with a Croatian television station, called him an idiot, a little boy.
I think he said something BSing.
Yeah, he just doesn't believe his own. He made fun of Sonnen, calling him all kinds of names and doesn't believe his own hype. But he's taking on Roy Nelson, Big Country. I got Big Country in this fight.
I got Big Country as well. I mean, we've seen Krokop. I mean, I think he's done.
Chris Hordeski, he signed on with Bellator. So he's competing next weekend up at Casinorama, which UFC Connected will be up there to cover the event. Chris Hordeski, is this guy ever going to make it back to the UFC?
I think eventually. I think Bellator is a great fit for him now. I mean, keep him on TV and continue his fight career going forward. I mean, he's still a young kid.
Thoughts on Pro Elite making their return August 27th at the Blaisdell Arena in Hawaii, which I've been at once, UCC 10, I believe it was. It was unbelievable there. Oh, it's beautiful out there. But Pro Elite's making their return. Pro Elite were the guys that were around when Kimbo Slice was supposed to fight Shamrock, ends up losing to the Silverback, Seth Petruzzelli. But they're returning, and they said they're going to start off slow. They're not going to bleed money like they used to, but they've got Andrei Arlovsky on the card, Kendall Grove, Regan Penn. This is a nice card. Are you paying attention to this? Because I am.
I think Kendall Grove and Regan Penn are both great fighters to have on this card. Arlovsky should be retired. I mean, I think it's a travesty that anyone's even giving him a fight. This guy, his health is in serious question right now. So I mean, I know I'm going over 5 seconds, but Arlovsky should not be fighting anymore. I just wanted to reiterate that.
All right. Unfortunately, one of our own, Antonio Pato Carvalho, was supposed to make his UFC debut in Brazil at UFC 134. He's had to pull out with a knee injury. Talk about a guy who's been toiling his time forever and that deserves to be... This is a former top three or top four featherweight in the world. And he's actually ranked number one. He's the number one featherweight in the world outside of the UFC, is what they're saying. That's not part of a big show. Unfortunately, he's had to pull out. Is there anyone that deserves it more to be in the UFC than this guy?
I mean, there's no question he deserves it. It's unfortunate there's an injury, but that's part of the game. It's just, I think the patience will pay off, though.
Did you see the Kim Couture leg scissor chokeout?
I haven't actually seen it, but I've read a lot about it. And I've also watched another fight where a similar thing happened.
In Turkey?
I didn't see the one in Turkey, no.
Okay, so there was a situation where a fighter had a choke on an opponent, and the opponent's hand, you know, the typical, before you tap, the hand pops up. That's your first signal the guy's about to tap, and then he starts tapping. And he's tapping. He's tapping. And the referee just sitting there looking at these two guys in the position, and the guy's still tapping. Apparently, we couldn't count it properly, but about 17 was the number that most people came up. The guy tapped 17 times. The referee did not stop the fight until the opponent let go of the choke because the guy was choked unconscious. So the question I begged out there, and some people agree, one guy disagrees, but to me, what's worse, what happened with Kim Couture, where the referee didn't even notice that she went out, even though her body was visibly went limp, or the referee that just sat there and watched the guy tap out 17 times and didn't stop the fight?
Probably the one with the tap, because there's a visible signal that the guy is giving up and you're not stopping. I mean, what if it was tapping out to strikes and he didn't stop the fight and the guy just keeps beating on him? They're both unfortunate. I mean, if you're going to let a fight go long, at least it was a choke, and it wasn't like, you know, a guy soccer kicking a guy in the corner in Japan or something. You know, like, there's worse ways for a referee to be incompetent, but it's still really bad.
Are you buying it or bypassing it? Jake Shields says, who is Jake Ellenberger, his next opponent? He claims he doesn't really know who Jake Ellenberger is. Are you buying it or bypassing it?
I think he's probably heard of his name. But I'll buy that he doesn't exactly know what Jake Ellenberger's done, because I know a lot of fighters aren't really fans of MMA. They're just competitors who want to compete, and they don't really pay attention to a lot of the stuff outside of, you know, their everyday lives. He better learn who Jake Ellenberger is real quick, though. I'll say that.
I'm bypassing it. Now, I'm saying that with a caveat, because many, many times I've spoken to many, many fighters, and when we do some of the prediction pieces that we do at the end of every show, I ask them, I said, I got 7 fights here, tell me who wins and why really, really quickly. And when I give them some of the names and the matchups, they're like, oh, really, that fight's going on? I'm like, dude, that fight's been going, it's been talked about for 2 months now. A lot of them don't know. So I'm kind of bypassing what Jake's saying, because I think he knows who Ellenberger is. But I could buy the fact that maybe he doesn't know, like you said, as much as he should know who he is.
Well, I think I don't see the advantage of Jake Shields saying he doesn't know who he is. I mean, if he loses that fight down the line, he's arguably losing to someone he thinks is a nobody. So, I mean, even the question of asking who that guy is, I don't think Jake Shields should do that ever with an opponent.
All right. That's pretty much a wrap for the show here. You going to come golfing August 14th? TigerCreek.com?
If I'm not clipping the event, I will be golfing.
You have to come golfing. It's going to be an amazing experience. It's on a Sunday afternoon. We get to watch the fights at the end of the night. But if you want more information, Tyler, check out TangoCreek.com. And your Twitter is at Tyler Mason.
Yep.
Mine is at Showdown Joe. Thank you once again for coming in, my friend.
Anytime.
You've been listening to The Showdown on Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590 in Toronto, as well as Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 960 in Calgary.